T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Greg Rabe.
Let's go, let's get it on. Oh, Peters!
Hey, got a fight. Thornton and Rabe are exchanging punches.
The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
Certainly not what we all hoped for last night, but I will say this. If you're tuning into The Instigators and would like some entertainment, I think we might be able to give it to you, because I feel like today... I love everybody I work with, but Craig, you deserve a verbal throttling today. You're in quite the mood around here. How's it going?
I'm great.
It's rainy days. Marty's here. Elliot Friedman coming up at 11 o'clock. Marty, are you tweeting?
Marty's busy. Marty's busy right now.
I'm texting a friend of the show, and I just got to take care of that, so then I can focus on ribs.
Did our secret video go out yet?
I don't think so.
Is it going to go out?
Working on it, it's being said.
Wait, you actually sent? You're not sending it? You're having the professionals send it out?
Yes.
Oh, look at you.
I don't want it.
What's all that about, you ask?
It's deleted off my phone. There's no proofs.
Well,
no proofs.
Listen, Instigators here, Andrew, Craig, and Marty. As I mentioned, Elliot Friedman coming up at 11 o'clock every Thursday now at 11 o'clock. And I read his 31 thoughts yesterday, and we'll get into that with him at 11. But some good things there. Number two was about playoffs and a quote about teams, parity, and...
Is that two? Or
teams
is that 22?
Not just team. No, number two, because I remembered it because I only got to like number nine.
Well, what was number one? Because I remember number one.
Number one was anything about Taylor Hall.
No, wasn't it about Ricard Raquel?
Oh, maybe the opening player? Was about Taylor Hall and the contract, I think. But anyway. We'll ask Elliot. But number 13 was about Buffalo and a defender. We're looking to move a defender, not Risto, a defender. So it was kind of vague there. So I mean,
don't they all defend at some point? You're a defender at one point or another in a hockey game. So that's very we'll
great
ask Elliot.
Philosopher down
it's
there.
It's a wide like net that's being cast over to see.
Yeah,
right
is
now.
It ever? Well, let's get right to it. Game last night. I mean, look, I thought Ralph Krueger basically summed this one up pretty well in his post-game address, and I liked his approach. This is the first time we've seen his approach to a loss, a regulation loss, anyway.
Yeah, you know, and he's well spoken. He's well spoken. Certainly, what I watched kind of, I think, irritates me more than maybe what Ralph Krueger's watching. But you know what? That's his calmness. That's, you know, he doesn't get too high. He doesn't get too low. There's things that this team still is building. There's building blocks that need to happen still with this hockey club. And you know, they started really strong, and I was very pleased with what I saw. And then all of a sudden, things kind of derailed, and you know, we saw a completely different, you know, a completely different.
And he basically
team.
Said that. Do we want to hear the sound before we carry on, or do we want to carry on and then hear the sound?
You can hear the sound.
Let's grab the sound. Here's Ralph Krueger after the game last night.
I don't think it affected as much as we were complicated with the puck. You know, we got complicated early in the second period. We had a couple of turnovers. It gave them momentum. I didn't feel that what happened then with the physicality really changed the way we were playing. It was just the fact that they got a lot of energy out of their goals about coming back into the game, and we just couldn't turn it. And the game got away from us, and now we're not worried about playing physical. We can look teams in the eyes. I feel there's a lot of courage on the bench there. Nobody shied away from anything, and we stood up to it. But again, it's a game to learn from in many ways.
Yep, I love that. Nobody shied away from anything. It wasn't a factor in the game. Yes, Anaheim came out and they crushed Olofsson on a penalty. They crushed Dahlin, wasn't called. They crushed Gergensen, that was called. It wasn't the physicality that the Sabres got surprised with, because they didn't back away from it. I think what surprised the Sabres is they were giving so many opportunities, especially on the power play, and they didn't do anything. They had 7 shots on goal on the power play in their 7 power plays in about 10 minutes of power play time. They scored on 1. They had a couple more on that first power play. So for the next 6, they had, what, 4 shots on goal for 6 power plays? Well, that's really what the Sabres were caught scratching their heads on the bench. And what's wrong with our power play right now? And they had the door open a couple of times, and they didn't. But I agree. I don't think they backed away.
Well, the comment was in regard to did the physicality. I mean, I'm paraphrasing the question because we couldn't hear the question. But it was in regard to the physicality, and did it change the way your team played or something like that. And I think people would be expecting more of a response after certain hits.
Yeah, but what are you going to do? Like, my question is,
well,
you're going to go and hit somebody from behind because they hit Olofsson from behind? No, you can't do that. The best part would have been scoring a power play and put that game away. And if you have a chance later, like Larson hit Richie, that reverse hit in the corner, that's why Richie was so mad at Larson at the end of the second period, because he gave him a cold shoulder right in the chest.
Sabatka.
Sabatka, not Larson. You're right.
JP Dumont style.
Risto did that a couple of times this year, McKay. But that's like, you can still play physical, but play within your game and not get yourself chasing around like you don't even know what you're doing. I think the Sabres' mantra is not going to be, we are going to run you through the boards. But they've shown physicality this year, and I don't think they backed away in this one.
First of all, I'll just start by saying, I've read comments, right? You go and you troll comments, and you want to hear what people think and how they feel the team needs to respond and didn't respond. So, you know, whatever you might think. I think people wanted to see more of a reaction to the Olofsson hit. I think people were like, why didn't
Who's going to react to it, though?
Who's going to react? Maybe it's not the characteristics of the players on the ice, but I'll tell you this. I like what Marty said. In this day and age, I mean, back in 03, 04, up to 08, 09, 09, 10, you would have expected a line brawl.
What was the score at that time?
But now I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, first of all,
what was the score at that time?
Was it 2-0?
It was 3-2 for Anaheim. 3-2? They had just scored a power play goal. We guess Lav scored.
But
so, why throw in the glove and start dropping elbows
score,
on everybody?
The score to me doesn't even – the score
it
to
does.
Me doesn't – I'm not arguing against you, actually. I'm arguing with you.
Yeah, okay, go.
So my point is that I don't want to see the team, because I had forgotten what point of the game that was at, Marty, but I'm thinking whether it's 2-0 or 3-2, you don't need to go and respond. You don't need those players to go and respond. You need those players to maybe get the proper penalty, by the way. 2 minutes?
That's
a
fine.
That is a 4-minute. That's a charge. I mean, come on. Like if we're going to start criticizing, and I'm not trying to be a homer here, but I'm saying if
are
somebody
are you talking
on
Olofsson?
Yeah.
It's a headshot.
If somebody goes and barrels through our guy
it's a headshot.
Like that,
it's not a headshot. He didn't hit him in the head. He crushed him from behind into
He crushed
the
him
wall.
From behind in a dangerous spot, and that is an area of the game that we need to
Do we have the video? Do we have the video of the Rowney hit?
This is at least, and this is what I wonder. I wonder if this is what Ralph Kruger was talking
he
about.
Got a
when
boarding
he said,
penalty. It was. I think it was a fair penalty at that moment.
I don't think it was a fair penalty. I personally don't think it was a fair penalty. And I'd say the same thing if our guy did it to another player. I thought Jack hitting from behind last year a couple times could have been.
You tell me
more
if this is not
suspended.
A headshot if he doesn't touch his head.
He doesn't touch his head.
He might
hit
make contact
right
with the back of his head.
No, he did not. Like, we can look at it again, but this is a situation where Olofsson is in a bad position. He didn't put himself in a bad position. He's in a bad position. I was okay with the boarding penalty. 2 minutes, like, yeah, it's on the excessive side, but I don't think that was a 4-minute boarding or a major for boarding.
I think that's a 5-minute charging penalty all day long.
No, like
the
really,
shot was taken.
He's eligible to be hit.
It's a great hit.
He's eligible to be hit.
It's a great hit.
Well, you just
but
said
he
it
still
was a
hit
shot.
It's a great hit, but he hit his head.
He did not.
He
hit
followed
his
through.
Head.
Watch this, Marty. We're watching this on video right now.
Right there, he hits
okay?
him.
Okay,
he hits him down. He hits him in the rib cage yeah, first,
he and he follows through with his hand.
That's because there's a board there, and
there's
Olsen
a momentum.
The
there's
board.
Momentum into the hit.
That's not a headshot.
Listen, I mean,
well, I'd say it's more a hit from behind than it is anything else. And I mean, he technically
it's
didn't
called,
have the puck. He's
you know, good,
up for the
good
puck.
On Rowney for playing big boy hockey. Great.
So my point to this wants to get going. Let him go.
Well, my
Ribs wants
well,
to go.
Well, then you have the thing I think that bothers me too is then you have Derek Grant go and whip a guy down to the ice. I mean, like these are
our team's not set up whatsoever to deal with this type of physicality.
They'll, but I don't think play, you have to deal with play, this anymore. That's what I'm saying. Let your power play do the talking.
Obviously, you do. I mean, that's still part of the game. There's still teams that are built that have players that can at least kind of react and play a heavy physical brand of hockey. The game has changed immensely in the sense.
And what does that mean, heavy physical brand of hockey? Fighting?
No. Well, yeah, sure. If you want to throw that in there.
There's no fighting anymore.
If you want to throw that in there, there are fights that still happen, but you're not bringing in players to fight. You're bringing in guys that play a heavier brand of hockey. I'll give you an example. Zach Cassian. Zach Cassian can fight 20 times a game if he wants, but in today's game, he doesn't have to fight. But he still plays a fast, physical brand of hockey. And if things like this happen throughout a game where one of Leon Draisaitl or someone gets hit, you will have a response not by looking for fights. You're going to have a response through playing heavy.
Who does Tampa
heavy
Bay have?
Yeah,
Tampa Bay
let me ask you this, though. How many games have we played? Have the Sabres played this year?
And they don't have any. They don't have anybody.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you right now.
Seven.
Braden Point is a physical. He's a little firecracker. You know, Yanni Gord is a firecracker. Yeah. They're going to play a physical brand. They're not going to react.
Jeff Skinner is a little firecracker. Did you see him at the end of the game? He's a little firecracker. He went after Max Comtois. Woo. Like, he's firecracker. Come on, we played seven games. The Sabres have played seven games. One team, one game, really like showed toughness and physicality. Over 82 games, that's 12 games. Do I want to build a team over 12 games out of the year, or do I want to build a team over 70 games out of the year? 70. And you know what? Next year, that number will be 74. And the year after that, it'll be 78. The year after that, it'll be 82 because you won't see that physicality like Anaheim brought. And it was only because it was 2-0. They started putting pressure and saw an opportunity. That's not going to happen on regular
basis.
Do you
say it as pressure, or did they bring physicality to the game?
First, they brought pressure.
Which turned into physicality, which the Sabres couldn't match.
Which they didn't have to. They got six power play. Well I welcome the physicality. Take penalties.
I do too nowadays.
Hence five unanswered goals.
Rivs, is the problem is the fact that Sabres didn't respond to physicality or they didn't score on the power play?
I'd say didn't score on the power play.
Didn't score on the power play.
Because that's your new response
nowadays. Well, they did
score
on the power play.
No, they didn't.
Well, early on they
did.
Goal. Yeah, the first goal.
They
but I'm talking about on the ones
six
that...
Six straight without scoring on the power play.
Oh, my God. The sky's falling. That's usually what's supposed to happen. What's the percentage? They were 1-for-7. That's a pretty solid night.
No, that's not. That's 15%. 15% you're last in the NHL. It's not good.
But the power play is going to have nights like that. They're going to have nights where they might score on four of those, and they're going to. Well, Anaheim was. Listen, you guys are the PK specialists around here. I just did it in practice and hope Cody Leak didn't take my foot off. All I'm saying is Anaheim put a lot of pressure on the Sabres last night. They figured out how to work things or how to get the Sabres to bobble the puck. They got
they took Dahlin away. Yeah. And then Eichel had to go down to Reinhardt, and then they jumped on Skinner, which now, okay, you got to figure out when a team has pre-scouted you like they did and they give you the goal line, what are your options and are you going to get that done? Maybe that's a lesson learned. But I want to go back. Okay, so 3-2, Olofsson gets hit. You know, the Sabres don't really respond. They do in a way, fine with the response.
I thought they responded. Like, I mean, Sam Reinhart got in there right away. Jack Eichel got in there. Scandella came flying in. He was 30, 40 feet away, and he got in there quick.
I'm fine with that, but what I'm saying is that you're down 3-2, you're going to get a power play. You can only respond so much. L.A. was against Carolina last night. Ellie's down 1-0 with 2 minutes left, a minute and a half left. Doughty has the puck. Drew Doughty, they're one of their all-time greatest in Los Angeles, has the puck, goes down the corner. He gets hammered by Jordan Staal from behind. He's out in the boards. He's down on the ice. And Ellie got in there a little bit pushing around, but the defense didn't even come down in the scrum. Why? Because they wanted to face off to stay in the offensive zone because they're down 1-0 with a minute 14 and realize, you know what? We need that face off. We're not coming down. Even the referee kind of looked up.
Was there a penalty on the play as well?
There was a penalty.
Well, they're trying to get the power play. And the other thing is, the Sabres last night, and when I'm sitting there watching that game and I see that hit, and I have people right now tweeting, and you can tweet us, by the way. He's at Marty Biron 43, at Craig Reve 52, and I'm at the Instigator 76. Listen, I'm sitting there thinking when they're doing that, I'm like, don't get a penalty. Don't do anything to even this up or even take away from a potential what I thought was going to be a five-minute power play. I thought they were staring at a five-minute power play for sure for a check from behind because I thought the refs would have been like, we didn't see it. Guys hurt, got drilled from behind.
The thing is, Olsson knew it was coming. So it's not,
but that's okay. He doesn't have the puck either.
No, he does. He's got it in his hands. Watch. He has it in his hands right there. Boom. And then he gets rushed. But he still has the puck.
Listen, Olsson's 175
pounds. Whether he has the puck or not, that's a defenseless player.
But there's no such rule, PD. We're not playing football here. There's no defenseless player. He's eligible to be hit.
That's a lacrosse type play there where a guy's reaching up for the ball because someone throws it really high and they just come in and drill you right in the rib cage.
You know what Victor Olofsson will do next time that play happens? He will not go put his hand up. He'll look, he'll see somebody come in, and he'll stiff shoulder that defenseman because he'll know that it's coming. And that's fine. It was a boarding penalty. Olofsson was in a bad position. The Sabres responded well after the hit.
Was he in a bad position? He wasn't in a bad position.
When you catch the puck like that and you look.
It's your own fault then.
His last thought before
that hit. You're putting yourself in
been,
a bad position.
I don't even know what they'd say it in Svenskin, but I mean, this guy must have been like, oh no. he must have been, his last thought before he got hit there must have just been like, I'm in trouble.
Oh no.
Because he caught the puck, he looked up for the puck, and I think it fell in his hand. Like, I don't think he reached for it. I mean, I think it just kind of fell to where he was, and then he gets drilled. I don't know. There's no rule about that, but I mean, come on. We got to protect our players because guess what? That hit happens, now you have a scrum. And, you know, maybe there's fights, and we don't want that, right?
No, it's not that. Okay, you guys are going
I'm serious.
A place where you don't need to go. Let's just take the incident for what it is.
This? Yes,
I agree. It was a boarding penalty. Olofsson was in a tough position. He probably will react differently to being vulnerable like this in the future. The Sabres responded with Jack coming in, Scandella coming in, Sam coming in. That was great. The only problem with that whole thing is 0-for-6 after the Olofsson goal on the power play, when Anaheim decided to take penalties and run Gergensen and run Sobolka at the end of the period, the Sabres did not do anything. They had a power play to start the third period. It's 3-2, 4-2 at the time. You get within one with that power play goal. They didn't do it.
So basically, that's the reason why we lost is the power play?
Yeah.
I think so.
I can agree with that.
It's one of the reasons.
It's one of the reasons.
Yes.
How many goals they score 5-on-5?
Well, one.
Which was Jack, right?
Jack's.
By the way, that was a pretty unbelievable goal.
Beautiful goal.
Let's have some positive down on this.
We've been positive for the last couple weeks. This team's played very well. They're much more skilled than what we've seen in the past. The power play's working. I mean, there's a lot of good things going for them. There's still things that this team needs to work on, okay? Last night was not their night. They scored 2 goals, okay? We're up 2-0, and they allowed a goal with 1.5 minutes left in the first period. That would have been a very different game if they would have gone into that first period up 2-0, but they allowed that goal, and they scored
1 minute into the second.
Well, the backbreaker there too, guys.
Right?
The backbreaker there too is they get that goal called back, and then they score right away.
Did you see what Ralf Kruger said about that?
Yeah,
he says actually I feel like the goal that was taken away, the offside challenge, kind of played against us because it fed Anaheim a little bit more. But again, like. So if you went to bed at 10:45 or 10:30 last night and you watched the first 15 minutes of the first period, you're thinking, this is golden.
We are unreal.
We are going to win this game 7-0.
Petey and I were texting back and forth in the first period, and I was like, wow, this team is the real deal.
Sam had the great opportunity.
You had he had the post. Eichel drove the net at one point. Johansson to Skinner on an entry where Gibson made a good save.
Jimmy Vesey on one where Casey Mittelstadt came up, kicked it out to Rodriguez. Casey Mittelstadt drove the net hard,
yep,
which opened the lane for Rodriguez to whip it across to Vesey. Vesey's got an area to shoot, misses the net.
Yeah, Erod came in all alone.
Erod had a breakaway. I mean, there was a lot of very good things, yep, in the early part of this game. But I'll tell you right now, it derailed in a big way after that. And sometimes when you have multiple power plays like that, it can take away from the flow of the game for others.
Well, do you know that, I saw that, I think Casey Mittelstadt and Evan Rodriguez did not have a shift at 5-on-5 in the second period. Why? They played a little bit of 4-on-4, and then it was all power plays. So, and Erod had a tough night. There was a lot of players that had tough nights last night. Rasmus Dahlin had somewhat of a tougher night as well. I think the expectation for Dahlin are so high that, you know, you're going to pay more attention to him.
Marty, we're talking Norris Trophy candidate after what? Game two?
No, people may have been talking, but we know better than
we're
that.
We're also in the entertainment business.
are we here to entertain, or are we here to like? Listen,
I'd say you're not entertained.
I'd say it's a little bit of both. I like to try to entertain.
Kid's 19 years old. He's got a long way to go.
Yeah,
he's got a long way to go and a lot to learn. But I'll tell you right now, his skill set. I have not seen a skill set on a defenseman like him in an extremely long time. The thing is, His game right now, he's got great shifts that are absolutely incredible, and then he's got shifts that there's got to be video done.
So guess what? That smells like every Norris Trophy player winner in the last few years. Brent Burns, same thing, only difference 6'5". Erik Karlsson, same thing. I mean,
remember when
Victor Hedman at the start of his
Petey. Do you remember when Rory Fitzpatrick was in Vancouver and they had the whole vote for Rory for the All-Star game? One guy one night on YouTube or something said, Rory Fitzpatrick deserved to go to the All-Star game. Last night, he was plus one with an assist. Nick Lindstrom, minus two. Nick Lindstrom is no good. Like, it was like just, you can single out one game. But one thing I noticed, Rivs, and I want your opinion on that, because I thought the Sabres did an awful, awful job in the second and third period with their gaps. They backed off their D way back into their zone. They allowed Anaheim to come in with speed. And I pointed it out after the second period, I believe, last night in the intermission, how the gaps were so big. How do you recover from that? Like, when you're on the bench in a game and the coach is like, guys, D, we need better gaps. We need better gaps. How do you change that mindset of being on your heel and getting to your toes?
Of the goals that they scored, we gave them. And I'll say this, on the first goal that I think that was called back.
Yeah.
Like,
Dahlin stepped up in the middle.
No idea what Dahlin's doing there.
Well,
anybody else that's on the ice playing with him.
I looked at it.
It does not make sense to me what he's doing on this play.
I looked at it a few times. So Larson goes in as the third man to forecheck on the wall. I understand, but it's way before that. You're showing me like at the offside, but Larson goes in as the third man on the wall, and the guy chips a puck by Larson. And gets by Larson. Like, you know, okay, when you're a forward,
That happens.
Yeah, that happens.
That does not mean that Dahlin has to leave his defensive position skating backwards, move up, and take a man who's coming at him going forward.
No.
Who then just kicks it out to the side, and now it's a 3-on-1.
But this is the one here. So on Adam Henrique's goal that made it 4-2 at the end of the second period with 13 seconds.
I'm talking about the first goal.
I understand, but I'm going to show you this one here, and I know people on radio are going to say, like, what? But so you've got McCabe that jumps up on the wall. Evan Rodriguez is back, and he's facing Henrique in the center of the ice. But where is Rasmus Ristolainen in this picture? He is 10 feet inside the blue line. The puck is not even cross center ice. This is what I mean. Like, this is a terrible gap. When the puck ends up on the stick of 53 for them, and I got to...
If you're listening to this on the radio, don't drive off the road.
No, that's Max Comtois. But when the puck gets to Comtois on the left side, Risto is 20 feet away.
Yeah.
If he's 10 feet away with a stick, he gets to the puck. I'm just saying, like, the defenseman's gap got to be bigger and wider and wider and wider, and it allowed for Anaheim to not only come in with speed to the neutral zone, but come in with speed on the forecheck. Then they chip the puck in, and they're coming in, and they're going to hammer you into the wall because they're coming 100 miles an hour. So my point is, how do you, as a defenseman...
But again, like when the goals are being scored, they happen through breakdowns. And on the goal that you're talking about, as much as Ristolainen has terrible gap, and there probably shouldn't even been a shot going to the net, Rodriguez, Comtois goes to the net, Rodriguez gives him inside position, which gives him an opportunity to even get a stick on the puck.
That's Henry,
he should never have that opportunity. Like, I mean, they're all small breakdowns. And that's obviously how goals happen, are through breakdowns.
And it goes through Allmark too. So you're thinking, you know, 13 seconds left in the second period, you need a save to be able to go into the third down one goal instead of down two.
Yep. Let's grab some calls here.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, we haven't even pumped the call lines. People just know the number. Ryan in Buffalo. Ryan, you're on the line with Andrew, Craig, and Marty. What would you like to say today?
Hey, I would just like to know, what's more important, getting a power play or sticking up for your player?
That sounds like a diss or dad.
Diss or dad. That's really good. I'll tell you this. It depends. It depends at the time of the game. It also depends on what happened on the ice. I think I would always err on the side of saying take the power play because, you know, you get the goal or you put it away. You have a chance later in the game to even out the score with physicality if you want to. But I'm not saying the Sabres just completely went away from getting in the scrum either. They did get in the scrum. Linus Ullmark went after Richie when he went after Sobotka at the end of the second period. When Gergensen got hit, the Sabres all got into the scrum, right? So I'm saying the Sabres didn't back down. They had a chance to go on six power plays and make the Anaheim Ducks pay for what they were doing, and that didn't happen. That's what I'm saying.
This day and age, I'm going power play. If you wanna go back to pre 2005, 2008, whatever it is, I mean, you know, you're gonna defend your teammate. But I think both, a little bit of both, maybe too. And I think you can do that by scoring on the power play, and depending on the severity of and how dirty the play was, if you feel like it deserves to be responded to later, you just take a number and answer the bell later. If there's somebody that wishes to do that, so. Plenty of ways you can handle it these days, but nowadays with the offense and the skill level that you have, and you need the points, you need the goals, you need the wins, I guess we got to take the power play.
Yep.
Yeah, and thanks for the call. Ryan makes a great point. Like, is it, you have to understand, when you react to something, you're reacting to protect players, you're reacting to build that camaraderie and strength within a group, but at the same time, in today's game, power plays decide games. And if you have an opportunity to take a power play, then you have to take that because they could be the difference between 2 points and no points. And, Petey brought it up the best. I think when you have you have to have the right group to obviously take numbers and react off it later. Quite frankly, the Sabres aren't built to react to this type of thing. They're a more skilled, they're quicker, faster team. They don't have players that are going to take numbers and react to it later.
Who would be one player on the roster? Let's pretend for a second they had Ryan Reeves on this roster. Okay, yeah. the quote unquote, you know,
toughest guy,
league heavyweight.
I will tell you this. This is what I feel. Ryan Reeves would be
We're not saying trade for Ryan Reeves. I hear him in the background.
Ryan Reeves.
Oh, no, here we go. Bring in Ryan Reeves. No, go ahead.
Ryan Reeves would be a massive addition to this Sabres team. Now, he's only one man. He's one single guy, but he can play 10 minutes a game. He understands his role. He's physical. He's going to, dump pucks.
And if he's in your lineup last night and you release him to the Hounds, guess what? Anaheim laughs at him.
And I'll tell you this.
They don't
care. Let me have my point before you guys go off.
Go ahead. Okay.
Ryan Reeves is going to take a number, and it might not even come the next shift, the shift after that. But I can guarantee you Ryan Reeves is going to be stepping on the ice, and he's going to be saying to Josh Manson and that Holzinger guy who I've never heard of in my entire life. Okay, Holzinger.
Holzer.
Holzer. Hoser. mark my words, I'm coming after you. Hey, and you're not going to know what's gonna when it's going to come, but I'm coming for you.
Hey, you hoser. I'm coming for you.
Okay. Yes, Ryan Reeves would definitely step on the ice and have a few words. Would it change what Anaheim did? Absolutely not, in my opinion.
Would. Yes, it
you
would.
You know what? When Marchessault got crushed in the playoffs and missed games with a concussion and Ryan Reeves was there.
That's the playoffs.
I don't care. The playoffs.
That's the playoffs. I'm going to tell you right now, you don't think that if someone hits Marchessault or someone like that in a regular season, you're going to have – you're going to have Ryan Reeves go verbally talk to that other
team. Sure,
he has
an impact.
And he's going to make guys nervous on the other side. That's all I'm saying.
For a moment he might.
Yes.
Because for a moment he might until the initial play is over and they don't have to react to it and they can laugh at him. But what's he going to do?
How many
he's going to say, let me think here, on February 9th, in Buffalo at 3 p.m., I'm going to get you.
Don't care about February 9th.
And I'm not going to
care
about that.
In that situation right now, they already had – you don't think that Ryan Reeves is going to go have a little talk with Richie after he –
It's not like
no, it hasn't changed. Yeah. It hasn't changed. There's less players that play a certain style.
Coaches,
but I'll tell you right now,
roll over the boards,
Ryan
coaches
Reeves,
would say,
without question,
let him bark.
Would be a guy that I would love.
Coaches would say about me right now, if I were in this league, if I were Ryan Reeves, they'd say, let him bark. Let him run around. We'll take our power plays if he wants to be stupid. Boom. And that's exactly what they're going to say.
The problem is he's not stupid. He's actually very intelligent, and he chirps with guys. And you know what? There's so many pretenders in this league because the game has changed immensely. The guys are not used to having a guy bark at them. It would change, I believe, some of that game.
And when I say stupid, Riv, I mean go out and try to elevate the physicality because that's your role and go and try and, you know, be reckless. And that's, you know, what my interpretation of stupid and that because there are times I'm sure coaches have said, go let Peters be stupid. We'll take the power plays. Like, cause you're trying to intimidate. Cause I'm a big tough guy in the league now and nobody cares. You know why? Cause if they're going to be a big tough guy to us, we'll roll Skinner, Reinhardt, Dahlin, Jack, and Mr. Superstar power play scorer, NHL record holder, Victor Olofsson.
Victor. You know
what?
The Sabres have
Victor.
You're telling me that Risto can't show, standing in front of their bench and be like, you come at me, let's see what happens. Or Jake McCabe can't do that. Like, those guys are your response. I'm not saying they're Ryan Reeves, they're not Tom Wilson's, but they are enough. And the Sabres responded enough
it's
on the
It's called respect. It's called those guys respect that Ryan Reeves can do damage. He makes them feel uncomfortable. No one.
I go run one of their stars. That's the other way to do it. You just say, Gergensen, Kyle, Larson, go create some energy. Run over some of their players. We got to go to break because when we come back, we got to do To the Point presented by Jim Stakeout, and we got to stay on time for Elliot Friedman. Or maybe we don't go to break. Maybe JJ will come in here and say, stay on this topic. We have calls. We'll be right back. Find out what we do. Instigators. We've been instigating Craig today. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're back with more of the Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
All right, so much went on around the league last night. There was a lot. So, you know what? The boys here, Marty and River, are requesting To the Point. Presented by Jim Steakout. Go to Jim Steakout where you eat at Jim's. Oh, here we go.
To the point.
Is that last voice you, or is that me trying to sound like you?
To the point.
Oh, that's Rivs.
It was a while ago that we did that.
Feels like yesterday. Who wants to go first? Who cares about the topic?
I don't even know what we're talking about.
We're doing To the Point.
Okay, yeah. Let's do it.
30 seconds on the clock. What is the most likely outcome for the Taylor Hall in New Jersey? For Taylor Hall in New Jersey. And by the way, Elliot Friedman, that reminds me, he will join us in about 22 minutes. So we'll talk to him about everything around the league. And one of his comments was Sabres looking to move a defender, not necessarily Risto. But what is the most likely outcome for Taylor Hall in New Jersey?
I am going to say he will stay in Jersey. I know there's a lot of words being thrown that, you know, if there's New Jersey don't look like they're going to win and win soon, that he could be on the move. But Taylor Hall is – he's a former, MVP winner. And, you know, that I think you've got to be careful with moving a guy like that. So I think he's going to stay in New Jersey. I think they've got some pieces. They've had a rough start. They need goaltending. But I think Hall stays.
What is the sticking point in that conversation with Taylor Hall?
New Jersey.
He wants to win.
That it's New Jersey.
It's New Jersey. What? So he'll get the money. So he'll what money are we looking at? We're looking at 12. At least a 8 or 7 year deal, and you're looking at how much money for Taylor Hall?
Well, 9.5, 10.
Is this your 30 seconds, Riff?
Yeah.
Sure.
So answer your own question. Here we go.
I think he'll re-sign with New Jersey, hold them hostage, and he'll be making an 11.5.
What if he does the John Tavares? And he says, okay, I'm going to, take New Jersey as an option, but I'm going to go to July 1st and wait. Do you think New Jersey trades him at the deadline if they don't have him signed? Because they're not going anywhere?
Yes. Yes, I do.
If he gets traded at the deadline, then he's a goner. But I don't think so. I think that...
But if you're having a guy like him go to unrestricted free agency, he's pretty much a goner, don't you think?
Well, what is a guy like him? Because right now he has 5 points in 6 games, pretty good. I think we'll all assume that he'll light the lamp and go on a run at some point. But what if he gets 75 points and they miss the playoffs?
Yeah,
are they going to pay him $12 million bucks?
He's a 75 to 95 point player.
It's a big gap. That's a big gap.
Depends on the year and the injuries. Depends on the year. He has the ability to be a 95 point player and score 40 goals. He's got tremendous speed. He's got a skill set that every single team in the National Hockey League wants. He is the, without question, times 10, the number one UFA going into next year. He is going to get paid a tremendous amount of money. New Jersey's in a position that they absolutely 100% need him moving forward. So they're going to have to pay him. His decision, he knows he's going to get the money. It's does he want to sign in New Jersey or does he want to test the waters someplace else?
All right.
He's 27 also. Do you want to give a 27-year-old 8-year deal, 7, so you're going to be 28, 29, 2 years before he gets to 30, and the miles that Taylor Hall's had on his body, so that's a big commitment.
He turns 28 November 14th.
Yeah, okay, so you're paying him for really 1.5 season before he turns 30. Mm. That's a big commitment.
Okay, moving on. What?
It's amazing how just in the last 2 years, or I'd say 3 years, that 28, 29, 30, 31-year-old players are a bag of crap.
No, but 34, 30, 32, 33, 34, it starts to dwindle down a little bit.
For some.
Not for Sid.
Not for James Neal.
For some.
Can the Oilers / McDavid keep up their winning ways? Marty, we'll start with you.
Yes, and the reason is because last night the Oilers beat the Flyers. The first thing that came out of Dave Tippett's mouth in the post-game conference was Koskinen, Mikko Koskinen, the goalie, should have been all three stars. We played out of the structure. We didn't play with the plan. That cannot happen. They scored a ton of goals. Woohoo! Fantastic. But we need to play a certain way, and if it hadn't been for the goalie, we would have lost that game. He said the goalie Koskinen, that should have been the all three stars. So that alone right there is accountability to a system, and we've seen Tippett in Dallas, we've seen in Phoenix, how he plays and he teaches a system, and the Edmonton Oilers have the tools, have the skills, and now they have the system in place.
River, can McDavid and the Oilers, and I guess you should throw Draisaitl in there, keep up their winning ways?
Yeah, Draisaitl. I don't even know who that is. That being said, negative. They will not keep this up. They're a two-man team. That's it. Done. I'll tell you right now, if one of those guys goes down to injury, this team is completely done. You cannot have Leon Draisaitl as a forward who's playing 24 and a half minutes on average through an 82-game schedule. He is going to be absolutely burnt by the middle of the season. 24 and a half minutes for what he does. He's playing way too much. You got Connor McDavid's playing 22 and a half. It's a lot of minutes, and they're putting a lot on those two guys. And if those two guys go down with an injury or go through a cold streak, this team's going to struggle because they have no depth in their lineup.
That is here. It's somewhere in Elliott's 31 thoughts. He talks about how much Draisaitl and McDavid play 2508 and 2310 as a part of this.
Yep. And people joke that, you know, can you imagine we could play Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid 30 minutes a game, we'd be winning 9-0.
No forward has averaged 25 minutes a game since 0102. Any guess who that was? Marty, you read 31 thoughts, so.
Man, I forgot. 0102?
Yeah, he might have burned both of you guys at some point. Blazing speed. The Bureau leader, Pavel Bure.
He played 25 minutes a game?
Average 25 minutes a game. The second.
Did you ever watch him play?
The only others across that threshold are Jaromir Jagr, minutes. Paul Kariya, and Joe Sakic.
Because he was the laziest player I've ever seen on the ice. And then all of a sudden, the Rocket, as we called him, blew out of the zone on a breakaway and scored.
Alexei Kovalev as a rookie
did absolutely nothing on the ice.
Alexei Kovalev as a rookie was just laziest player ever.
Last one here. Does
played
Crosby?
With him too.
Yeah, you did.
Kind of, you know, when you talk about Batman and Robin, you know, or like your dynamic duos, does Crosby need Malkin to keep the Pens in contention? Riv, we'll start with you.
I don't know. It seems like every time one of those guys go down, the other player steps up his game and takes this team on his shoulders and gets things done. And you've got Evgeny Malkin, who is an absolute world-class talent, go down with injury. And what happens? Sid the Kid, you know, takes this team on his shoulder, makes everybody around him better, and they start to win hockey games. And it's vice versa. When Sidney Crosby was injured all those years and had some injury troubles, Evgeny Malkin did the exact same thing. It's pretty impressive how these guys do it in Pitt.
I'm just looking at the – Marty, what do you think? Does Crosby need Malkin to keep the Pens in contention?
Yes, he needs Malkin to keep the Pens in contention. Right now it's working all right. They played Colorado yesterday. It was a big matchup between buddies Crosby and McKinnon. They both responded, but Crosby had a goal and assist. If you ask the Pittsburgh Penguins to score four goals to win the game, I don't know that they can get there, so – yeah, they're going to need Geno Malkin to have more depth, to create more matchup issues. Right now, they can do away without him. But if it's going to be 2 months without Malkin, then it's going to catch up.
All right, that'll be it for To The Point presented by Jim Stakeout. When we come back, 70s night. You guys are talking 70s.
Yeah.
On the show.
That is November 2nd. Saturday, November 2nd. Big night.
Big night. November 2nd versus who? The New York Islanders. The first 10,000 fans will receive a commemorative pennant. This is all part of the 50th anniversary with the Sabres. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about some of the players from the 70s when we return. I love throwing it back to the 70s.
Yep.
Ribs first year.
Burn,
in the league.
Baby, burn. Disco Inferno. Uh-oh.
What do you think that was like back playing
Studio
in the 70s?
54.
The style and the bars and the music. And
you had to go to commercial.
A lot of Jackie Moons out there, I'm sure, back
think
in the
about
day.
It. If you're driving around, think about it. We'll think about it. We'll bring it back.
All right. And the perms, too. Instigators. Oh, yeah. WGR 550 and MSG.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're back with more of the Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
Martin Biron playing DJ over there.
There's music in our ears already.
Well, that might be a song you might hear. Is that a 70s song or 80s song?
That was a 70s song. I'm playing the 70s greatest hits. Dun, dun,
dun. That was Dire Straits you were just playing. Yeah. William Dixie. That will fall time.
Dun, yeah. Dun, 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 dun. I just wanted to get Revs a big smile on his face and get him singing.
That's a great song. So
I don't understand
night.
Why you guys are sitting there saying that again today. I don't understand how.
This is a perfect example right now. We're seeing you have a smile, you're singing, and you like jump all over us. But anyway, 70s
you're
night,
doing. Petey. I just saw on Twitter you're doing your little videos together again.
Like, how you going? Petey.
Hey, we're doing what's in the best interest of entertainment.
70s yeah. night. 70s night, yep. November 2nd. Yep. Go ahead.
You trying to keep us on track
yes.
here?
We have Elliot Friedman coming up, this or that later. We have a lot of things to talk about.
Get your tickets, November 2nd versus the Islanders. They're turning back the clocks to celebrate the first decade in Sabres history. First 10,000 fans in attendance will receive commemorative pennant.
I want a pennant. I
list
want a
of
pennant
Sabres
so
alumni to attend 70s night that played in the 70s. Jerry Meehan, Jim Lorenz, Rennie Robert, Don Luz, Craig Revay, Larry Carrier, Jerry Korab, Bill Height, Morris Titanic, Jerry Desjardins, Danny Gare, Terry Martin, Derek Smith, Don Edwards, Rick Seeling.
Jerry King Kong Korab. I hope he wears his fur coat because I remember seeing a picture in the locker room of Jerry Korab coming out after a game at the Odd, and he signed an autograph, and he's got this big fur coat on with the big hair and the sideburns. Like, just beautiful.
That's how they did it back then.
Would we have made it in the 70s?
I would have been better in the 70s.
Yes, you would
have. I might have had 3 goals a year.
We talk about the 70s. Like, it was a totally a different era. And
all you had
guys
to do was get the puck on net back then.
Well,
I had 9 shots a year. I would have.
Rick Martin.
I would have got a couple.
God bless his soul, Rico. He came in one year as a skill coach, and he told guys like Danny Briere and Chris Drury that what they had to do was take a low shot on the ice far post when they came down the wing, and they would score every time because that's how he used to do it. I'm like, a game has changed, Rico, but it was so funny because that's how he scored the goals.
Yeah.
Remember one of the most famous goal in the Montreal Canadiens history when Don Cherry put too many guys on the ice was Guy Lafleur taking a shot to the far post.
Slap shot
on the ice on Cheevers, right? I think it was in net for Boston, and he tried to do
the kick save.
The kick, like blade kick to the corner, and he scored.
The Denny Lemieux.
Huh?
The Denny Lemieux from Slapshot.
The Denny Lemieux from Slapshot. That's a 70s night right there. Yeah. Everybody come in wearing your afros.
Slashing a pen when the puck. Let's get
go
this
rent
out of
some
the
outfits. Come and dress like
that's
the
what
biggest
they should do.
Disco.
Are these guys coming in bell bottoms and like, you know, the old disco boots and vests?
I don't know. Probably not, but it would be awesome.
That's what they need to do. Donnie Luce has got to get the big
get
curly
the fans.
Hair going.
Come in
again.
In the spirit of the 70s.
I would
let's
agree.
Let's do it.
It's like the world's largest disco.
Yeah. Go. Like,
go like it's the world's largest disco. That's a great idea.
Go enjoy it.
There you go. Taylor Swift curse in L.A. It's real.
That's a buy-sell trade?
That's, I don't, yeah, it's a buy-sell trade. I can't believe this is our buy-sell trade. Buy-sell trade presented by Buffalo Sports. Go to Buffalo Sports where you can buy, sell, and trade new and used sports equipment on McKinley Parkway. The connection to our fans is our highest priority, and through our engagement, they have made it clear that the banner shouldn't be part of the Kings game experience, and that's Michael Altieri, Senior Vice President of Marketing and Communications and Content for the Kings, told the Los Angeles Times, "We didn't see an issue in covering it for our games, and in fact, we see it as an opportunity to show our fans that we hear them." So they have not won a playoff series since the Taylor Swift
banner went up.
Why is the Taylor Swift banner up in the arena?
Most sellout concerts.
Haven't you ever looked up in the rafters in Philly and it says like Billy Joel and Elton John and all these most sellouts?
Madison Square Garden has Bruce Springsteen and Billy Joel banners up there. Like most consecutive sellouts or 57 shows and Philly has them. So in LA, they have Taylor Swift there.
I wasn't looking up in the
It's the dumbest thing. Like the Clippers are doing the same thing. I think they're covering the banner.
What are you saying?
I'm just saying, I didn't have time to look up into the
right next
some of us
did.
Billy
some
Joel, did. Bruce Springsteen banners.
Some of us like to take.
Right
some of us like to take in the sights.
Marcel Dion retired jersey there. It's right next to him, you know. And then you got the Lakers with Kobe and Shaq and their.
All right,
banners.
My bad.
I'm selling this. I'm selling. You know what? I'm not even letting you guys answer. I'm selling this for all of us. The Taylor Swift curse is real, so they're going to cover this up for Kings home games because they think it's a curse.
It's dumb.
That's totally ridiculous.
It's buy, sell, trade, or dump.
So we won't see it tonight.
Yep. I'm definitely going to sell this.
I'm going to tell Joe Pinter, our producer, to shoot that during the game so the fans can see. It's not like they're taking it down. They're putting a black drape over it. It's still there. It's like
add these three to the list of sellouts.
It's like I got a pimple on my forehead. I'm going to put a big Band-Aid over it. You're not going to know that it's there.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't happen if you just
good analogy, Marty. Good analogy.
That's what it is.
Totally got it. Covered up.
They should probably throw a banner over Kovalchuk too. And his contract.
How's he
can
doing?
They can they what is it called? Deduct that? Is it
deduct? Deduct?
Redacting, deducting. We'll be right back. Elliot Friedman in a couple minutes after the sports update.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.